So thank you again for a beautiful song, beautiful interpretation. How many of you are happy that summer is here? Amen? Can I see the hands of graduates, those who are graduating from high school or eighth grade or kindergarten? Could you stand up? Yes, we have high school, Elise, high school. Anyone else? Or who've graduated already? I think in the back, Kalia, also high school. And Jeffrey, college already. Wow. So we have several of you. And eighth grade? Yes, praise the Lord. Some of you graduate schools, maybe. Technical school, praise the Lord. Those are milestones that we celebrate, amen? And we as a church want to just share with you our joy and happiness in reaching a milestone in your life. And we know that God has plans for you, amen? And we as a church want to be praying for our young people, amen? And young people, we need you to pray for us older people, amen? Because we are living in some difficult times. Some stormy times where everything seems to be looking just fine. Blue sky, beautiful weather. We all came nicely dressed today, amen? And on the outside, it might all look perfect. Picture perfect. There might be some storms brewing. Or maybe some of us already experienced some of that this week, or this past week, or this past month. And brothers and sisters, the Bible gives us a message of hope for times like these. Amen? The Bible is clear in telling His people that God is close, He's near. He has not forgotten us or forsaken us. Amen? As a church, we've been studying the last 12 books of the Old Testament, known as the Minor Prophets. Have you heard of the book of Hosea? Some of us have, and we remember the prophet Hosea and what he shared with the people of Israel. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. And now, Pastor Greg Harper, we're studying Nahum on Wednesday nights. And it's been a blessing to be able to come together as a church and study this amazing book, the book of Nahum, and what it tells us about God and what it tells us about human beings. And how we can grow our relationship closer with an amazing, compassionate, and loving God. So this morning, I would like to share with you a message from a well-known prophet by the name of Isaiah. How many of you know the prophet Isaiah? How many of you have read the book of Isaiah? Big book in the Old Testament, but a beautiful book that describes a loving and compassionate God. In fact, the name Isaiah means the Lord saves. Amen? And if there's someone who can save us from the things that are happening in our world, that is God Himself. If you've been watching the news, you've been noticing there's again tension on the Eastern Front, the Far East, North Korea, yes, in the news. China, in the news. Japan, in the news. On the Western side, we're in the news, yes. And so are other countries like Spain. Probably some of you heard that the Prime Minister of Spain, I think yesterday, was asked to step down. First time in many decades that this happens in the country of Spain. Italy, also going through their changes of government, big turmoil. And if we look at the weather, at our environment. We see in the East Coast flash floods destroying entire towns, tropical storms pouring destruction upon different states of our nation. And if we go west from us, we hear volcanoes erupting, causing destruction. And we understand, brothers and sisters, that these are just signs of the times. Amen? And we don't expect things to get any better, but we can expect God to be with us as we go through these challenging and trying times. And the book of Isaiah has a message, I believe, for times like these. A message that was preached 2,700 years ago. Is that a long time ago? That's a long time ago. But a message that is relevant to people who are living in the 21st century. And if today's message doesn't go through, it's not because of the Bible. It's because of someone who was not able to communicate it well. But I pray as we study chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah, I pray that you will see an incredible message that will speak to your heart. Invite you to put down burdens that might be weighing heavily upon you. And brothers and sisters, I do not know what burdens you carry. I do know the burdens that I carry, and they are not easy or fun to carry. But if you are like me, Isaiah, the prophet of God, invites us to lay down those burdens. So I will invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, and these first two verses are crucially important for us to understand the message of not only this chapter, but of the entire book. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 tells us the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. A vision that Isaiah saw, a vision that he received. Who did Isaiah receive this vision from? God. This was not Isaiah's idea. This was not his father's idea or his friend's idea. This was God's idea. And if there's something that must be clear to us, is that God is the one speaking here. Not Isaiah. It's God's word that is being presented to God's people. Concerning Jerusalem, concerning Judah. And we might say, well, that doesn't concern those of us then who live in California. But brothers and sisters, this message, a message given by God 2,700 years ago, is a message not just for the Judahites, for those who live in Jerusalem. It's not only for those who were their neighbors, Assyria, Syria, Edom, Moab. But this is a message for each one of us today. Amen? A message that God wants us to understand. And if you notice, he mentions the names of these kings. Uzziah, who lived around the time 740 BC. Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, who lived around 698 BC. This message was for God's leaders, God's people, God's children, as we will see. This is a message of a father speaking to his children. a loving father speaking to his children. But as we see in verse 2, the children are not listening. In fact, verse 2 tells us, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." God presents himself as a father who has brought up children. He bear these children. But the children rebelled. They said, I don't want to do anything with you. I don't want to live with you. I don't know if you've heard in the news of a family situation where you have parents who had to tell their 30-year-old son, "You can't live here anymore." Yes? That made the news. And the situation got to the point where the son had gone to school, he had preparation, but wasn't looking for a job, or he had at one point had a job, he lost it, but it wasn't really looking for a job anymore. He just wanted to stay home and have a great time and praise the Lord for home. Amen? But there comes a time where parents were getting a little anxious, saying, what happens if we're not around? Who's going to take care of you? Who's going to feed you? Who's going to provide for your needs? And these parents took their 30-year-old son to court. And the judge gave the parents the authority to evict their son from their home. He had 30 days to leave. And after 10 days, he left. The parents were even willing to fix his car. They said, "I will fix it for you, son, but you have to do something for yourself now. You're old enough." And praise the Lord for Airbnb. Yes, he found a place to stay for now. And you see in many ways here God speaking to his children, saying, "Hey, something needs to happen here, or you will be destroyed." Verse 3, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider." God was saying, "Well, what's happened? Why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you listening to me? Why is our relationship strained? And why are we growing apart as days go by, as months go by, as years go by? What's going on?" And verse 4 tells us what's going on. Verse 4 tells us, "Alas, oy." Or in Spanish, "Ay." Yes. "Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are not only corrupted, but they're corrupting others." What's happened? "They've forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned their backs to God." A sad situation. And God is here speaking to his own people. These are not the Assyrians, the Edomites, the Ammonites. These are God's own children who have his word, but somehow have forgotten who God is. They are laden with iniquity. I was sharing with our CRCP class one day regarding sin, and I shared with them that sin is something that's sticky. So don't play with it. It sticks to you, and then it's hard to get off. And one of the kids said, hey, it's like a spider web. Yes? And this spider web is something that sticks to you. And we see bugs, how easily they stick to it because they can't see it many times. They just run right into it. And many times we don't see it. Yes? Walking by and we feel it. Start taking it off our face or our hand, and it's like, whoa, what is this? But yes, sin, as invisible or visible as it might be, it's sticky and can bring us down, can destroy us, can hurt us, can pain us. God describes their situation by asking the question in verse 5, why should you be stricken again? It's not the first time this happens, Israel. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. It looks bad. It smells bad. And it must be incredibly painful to be in this situation. Describes the land as desolate. Cities burnt with fire. Strangers devouring your land in your presence. And he says, why go through this again? Why Israel? Why Judah? Why Jerusalem? Go through this again. Verse 9 tells us, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Does sin weigh us down, brothers and sisters? Does sin cause pain? Does sin separate us from God, from each other, from ourselves? God is saying, it doesn't have to be this way. And verse 10 is an invitation to the leaders, but to all of us. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God. Is there a way of fixing this situation, brothers and sisters? Is there a way of coming back to God's ways and his paths? Is God here talking to his children just to make them feel bad? Is he just wanting to shame them? Is he just wanting to make them uneasy? Or is God being compassionate and loving and caring and saying, hey, this is the way. If you listen, things will change. Verses 11, 12, 13, and 14 is a description of all the things that they were doing. They were going to church. They were giving their offerings. They were going through the motions. But was there a change of heart? There was no change of heart. And God says this in verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary. I am tired of bearing them. Does God get tired, brothers and sisters? Do you get tired of seeing what happens in our world? We do. But God says here too, I'm tired. I'm burdened down. But what is happening in the world? He says in verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Your hands are full of injustice. Your hands are full of sin. Not a pretty scene, is it? But praise God for being our Heavenly Father. Amen? And in this chapter, this beautiful chapter 1, there is hope for those of us with stained hands. Your stain might not be blood, but it's stained too, isn't it? Mine is. And the more I try to clean myself, guess what happens? The dirtier I get. And the more weighed down I am. And the more weary I am. But God gives his children the solution that we find in verse 16. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. And the question that I ask myself is, how? How can I wash myself, make myself clean? And God tells Samuel, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Your parents might not know. Your friends might not know. Your coworkers might not know. But who's always watching? God's always watching. My mom always told me, don't look to the right or to the left, but always look up. Yes? That's where you need to be looking, up. He's watching. So put it away. Cease to do evil. How do you cease to do evil? Being accustomed to do it. Verse 17, learn to do good. When I was in school, in a small school, 120 students, that was it. 30 language students, 30 theology students. We had a group of high schoolers that dormed with us as well. And we're all there living together in this dorm. And young people know what's popular today, don't they? Yes? And one of the popular things was music. And the music was being heard day in and day out. And the teachers thought, okay, let's do something here about this. Because, you know, this is not music that we should be listening to. But I like their approach, because when they came to the student body, and they didn't just come to one group or the other, they came to all of us together. Hey, this is happening in the boys' dorm. And the music that you're listening to, it's popular, yes. People in the world listen to it. But we as Christians, we should not be listening to that type of music. And the best part was this, that the teacher said, how about you listen to this other type of music? And he started sharing with us the type of music that they enjoy, that is constructive, that has a positive, biblical, godly message, that elevates instead of putting others down. And so it was helpful not just to say, hey, you can't do this, but you can also do this, which is beautiful and constructive. So God says here, do learn to do what is good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And yes, there are many around us that are in a dire situation, brothers and sisters. And God invites his people to take care of those who can't take care of themselves, to help those who are in need. And then God says, come. Come. Come, please, come. Don't wait any longer. Come. Come. And let us reason together. God is not taking us here to court. Even though he is the judge of judges. Amen? But he's not taking us here to court. He's talking to us as a father. Hey, let's sit down. Let's reason. Let's discuss about this situation. Let's talk about our differences, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen? Can God do something about the sin problem, brothers and sisters? Is he the master cleaner? Amen? He can take any stain as deep or dark, can take it, wash us clean. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Do you want to be cleansed? I want to be cleansed. And if I understand this text found here in the middle of this passage of Isaiah, the only thing I need to go do is come. Come. That's my part. I need to go to Jesus. I need to lay down my burdens. And he has promised to make my robes clean. Amen? This is a message that we find in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 11. And if you have your Bibles, you'll recognize this passage found in Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus is here speaking and telling those who are listening, come, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, take my word upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And if we come to the last part of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the last chapter of this book, we find here a beautiful passage where Jesus, in verse 16, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, says, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Amen? Does God offer us, brothers and sisters, something to solve this sin problem? It's just not over us, but it's also where? In us. Does he offer water that can give us life? Water that can cleanse us from all of our sins. Is this a message that is relevant to us today in the 21st century? Praise the Lord. And a message that I want you to hear very closely. As my dear sister Kalia Washington and Ben share the same message. A message that you and I need to take to heart. I need to learn to go to Jesus when I'm feeling tired or drained or ill. There is a place where we can go, amen? And we're all invited, brothers and sisters. We're all invited to lay down those burdens, whatever they may be it at home, be it at school, be it at church, be it in our nation, or be it in the world. Same invitation that God made 2,700 years ago through his prophet Isaiah.